This is a call to all current and aspiring entrepreneurs. How you market your business can be the difference between whether or not you succeed online. But don't worry, we're here to help with current strategies, tips, and tricks that you can apply to your online business or business idea. This is the EMJ Podcast with your host, Matt Hepburn.
This is episode one of the EMJ Podcast, and I'm your host, Matt Hepburn. Today on the EMJ Podcast, I explain what you can expect from this podcast, how often we're going to publish it, and lastly, I'm going to go into my background and how it's helped me have perspective on online marketing. So if you're frustrated with how your business is performing online, or you might only have an idea for a business, but you're not sure how you would market it, then you're in the right place. You know, it's easy to find tons of articles online about how to market your business. The Entrepreneur's Marketing Journey podcast, better known as the EMJ podcast, helps you by interviewing experienced entrepreneurs and business leaders. We get to hear their stories about their businesses, and along the way, we hear about their struggles and challenges as they've marketed their businesses online. We get insight into their aha moments and their major breakthroughs. The goal of this podcast is to provide you with that crucial information so that you can apply these strategies if you need to. They're giving you the keys to online marketing strategies so that you don't have to go through the pain that they've endured, right? In addition, we'll be creating content on our blog that goes into detail on marketing tactics with the goal of connecting these strategies so that you can use these to market your business online. In case you're interested, we're publishing a new episode every Wednesday. So now I'm going to go a little bit into my background in marketing and some of the struggles that I faced and the events that motivated me to move forward in my career and finally create this podcast. So before I started work, I went to college at Western State College of Colorado back in 1987. And Colorado is really far from northern New Jersey, where I grew up. I didn't realize before I started classes of how much a party school this college was. I heard later after I left that it was within the top 10 party schools of the U.S. And I don't know if that's accurate or if that was just a rumor, but let's just say I ended up partying more than studying. And by the end of the first semester, I came to a realization that it was a waste of time, both for my parents' money and for my time, right? So I left after the first semester to figure out what I was going to do with my life. I wasn't sure whether I'd be going back to college later, and if I did, maybe it would be a local college. I wasn't sure. I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I just knew that I was wasting time and I was wasting money. So I went home and I actually started working right away. I started working as a subcontractor for a painter, and I ended up doing that for several years. I even went to the Wallpapering Institute of New Jersey to learn how to hang wallpaper. And at this point, I thought this might be what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life, right? I ended up painting for most of my 20s. And I ended up doing a few other jobs. Actually, during the first Gulf War, I worked for an insurance company for about 2.5 to 3 years because nobody was getting their houses painted, you know? So I did that, and I got introduced to the corporate environment as a file clerk. I wasn't making a lot of money. I think I was making $18,000 to $19,000. And, you know, so I ended up doing that for a while. And then when the war was over, I went back to painting houses, right? And then I got introduced to my future wife, and I was still painting. But at this time, it was starting to get cold outside. You know, I'm a little bit older. I'm on a ladder. It's very cold, and holding the cold ladder and trying to paint, you know, some people want you to paint, even if it's, you know, 35 degrees. And I, you know, I had this realization. I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to work outside. I don't want this life. I want a better life. And one of my wife's friends owned a mortgage company. And I ended up talking to them, and they hired me on. And I started to learn the mortgage industry. And this was in 1998. And it was a completely new direction for me, completely different from what I've been doing. And as part of my job, I had to solicit realtors across central New Jersey. That was my territory. I solicited them for mortgage deals. And after about 2.5 years, I realized that I didn't want to really be beholden to realtors for business because they had these long-term relationships with other lenders. And they would really only talk to me when their deals fell outside of what their lenders could do. And what that meant was that my business was not consistent, right? So I started to look for methods where I could consistently bring in mortgage deals and revenue. I ended up purchasing a direct mail course. And it came to, it was mailed to me in this big, big binder. And I started to implement these direct mail strategies. I purchased title data that was public information on who had a mortgage at what rate, along with what mortgage amount and their address. So I started mailing. I started mailing 500 people per week, and I ended up moving that up to about 10,000 pieces of mail per month, which were mailed out biweekly. So leads were always coming in. The phone was always ringing. And what this meant that mortgage deals were coming in consistently, and I was closing deals consistently. And I also built up this pipeline of deals. So there are always new deals coming in and closing. So I finally had consistent income. And at the time, I was 100% commission employee. So I split these deals 50% with the mortgage company I worked for. And, you know, life started looking good. And so I did this, like I said, for 9 years of the direct mail part of it. And then the subprime mortgage bubble hit in 2008. And overnight, you know, people lost large amounts of value in their homes. We had 350 plus national mortgage lenders and banks that went out of business. And to deal with the crisis, President Obama changed a lot of laws around mortgage lending. I stayed in the mortgage industry till about 2010. And what ended up happening was I didn't have time to run my business and at the same time learn all these new laws. And additionally, most people who were wanting a mortgage were underwater with their home's value because the market had totally tanked. So even if you found somebody who wanted a mortgage, you couldn't necessarily give them one because there was no value in their home. This also made the return on investment on my bulk mail that I was doing horrible, right? So it didn't make any financial sense to do that. So I had to stop that as well. So here I am in my early 40s at this point, and I'm saying to myself, what am I going to do when I grow up in my 40s and figure out what I'm going to do for work? You know, but I loved marketing and I had been doing with the direct mail. I loved the direct response that I got from my clients, my letters. Like I said, the phones were always ringing. And I always had people that said to me, I get these types of letters all the time, but there was something about your letter. So I held on to it and I'm calling you now, even though I received it weeks ago. I loved that. I thought that was wonderful. And I said, how do I bring this online? And what does that mean? How do I transition to an online experience? You know, I thought it would be easy. I thought it was going to be like direct mail online. It wasn't. It was completely different. But you know the old sales adage, which is the more people you get your message in front of, the higher conversion rate you will have, right? So I started looking into this thing called search engine optimization, or SEO as it's known in its shorter form. And I started studying everything that I could read online. And at this time in 2010, there were very, very few online courses about SEO. And the information that was online was really old and outdated. But I pieced together what I could. And like I said, I just started reading everything. I started working on my own site, on clients' sites that I actually was able to get. And, you know, I started working, finding these individual clients, a lot of lawyers, small companies, insurance companies. And typically I was working as a contractor and in some cases as a direct employee. So I did that for a few years and then I started finding success, right? For the first 2 years, I was really trying to get around Google. I was just trying to figure out how to get around Google. And finally, I got really tired of that. And I said, what does Google want? Right? That's all I cared about. I didn't care about getting around Google. I just wanted to know what they wanted. And what does that mean? And it all revolved around relevant topical content. So fast forward a couple years, and I worked for a larger agency that handled 500 to 600 clients. and I was one of 15 different SEO analysts. The agency had, you know, subject matter content writers on staff. And I'm just working a lot of hours, and I'm realizing I'm starting to get burnt out. So the first thing is, I had no idea what the agency had promised these clients. However, due to the large amount of clients that I was working with, I only was able to work a few hours on each client per month. At one point, I was managing 67 on-page SEO clients and 50 local SEO clients with a Google Places product, which I actually helped create, called Local Boost. So I got tired of managing multiple clients and not having a huge amount of success. You can't have a lot of success when you are working with that many clients and you only have a few hours to work on each site. It was inevitable. I ended up transitioning into the enterprise SEO sector because I was tired of working on all these clients, right? I said to myself, what if I could work on just a few sites, but larger sites where I could spend a lot more time dedicated towards what really needs to be done so I could see my efforts have huge impact. That's all I wanted to do. So I transitioned into the enterprise sector. Took me a while to do that. And I've been doing that now for 7+ years. Enterprise level SEO websites, they can have thousands to millions of pages. The business usually has multiple websites that handles their business needs. They might actually have international copy, and they have international websites. This exposure in large corporations, it's totally changed my trajectory in my career, as well as the income that I make. Along the way, I've come to know a lot of different marketing coworkers across these organizations. Sometimes these organizations have 200 to 500 people in their marketing departments, sometimes less, you know, 50 to 125. But you get to know these people, you work with them, you see all these other tactics, you get to, you know, plan and strategize on all those things together. So as far as motivation for this podcast, I want to tell you a little story here. I'll try to keep it brief. In 2018, I had a major heart attack. I was driving back from work, which was then in Homedale, New Jersey, and the commute was roughly about 40 minutes from work to home. I started having horrible chest pain. I called my wife and I said, you know, I'm having this horrendous chest pain. Please stay on the phone with me and I'm going to focus on your voice and I'm going to get home. You know, she told me, well, you know, why don't you pull over? And I'm a very stubborn person. And I said, what am I going to do? Stop at a mile marker and call an ambulance to come pick me up at a mile marker. I said, I don't think so. I'm coming home. So that's what I did. So later, once I got home, the pain had subsided a little bit. And my wife actually went out to the market because it was my daughter Rose's birthday. And I believe we were actually having hot dogs and we were out of hot dog buns. So by the time that she came back, my chest pain was back and it was much stronger than it had been before. So I told her, you know, please just call 911. So the first responder showed up, and the first responder that showed up was the policeman. He gave me oxygen, and actually two ambulances showed up, and they drove me to the hospital, and they kept me overnight. And in the morning, they brought me down to the cath lab to do some imaging on my heart to see what was going on. And they told me, Mr. Hepburn, your heart is blocked 99.9%. So I can tell you, it is a really scary thing when your doctor is telling you that. You realize that you're just inches away from death, right? So they said, we can perform emergency surgery right now, or you can wait and you can get transferred to another hospital. There was another hospital about 5 minutes away. And I said, do whatever you need to do right now. And so, they had me on the table there. They were trying to actually go through my arm, through the vein there. But because I'm, you know, at the desk all the time, I've kind of hunched my shoulders a little bit, so they couldn't get through the vein there. They had to go through the vein in my leg. And they're operating on me. I'm fully awake while this is all happening. And, you know, I'm really, really scared. So I start praying to God. And pretty much what I prayed was, you know, if it's my time, Jesus, it's okay. I'm ready to go. But if I could stay, that would be really great. And I got to say, this episode is not about religion. I just wanted to, you know, what happened and what my motivation is. So I'm laying there, I'm praying, and, you know, it was a huge surrender. And after praying, I had this huge, huge feeling of peace just envelop me. And I knew everything was going to be okay, no matter what happened. And so later, you know, the surgery was a success. I was in the hospital a day or two. I ended up having 24 to 26 weeks of cardiac rehab. I've had 3 heart surgeries. I have 4 stents in me right now. And I live each day for the day. I live in the day. You know, one of the things that I've promised myself is that I wanted to leave my mark on providing better information for online marketing. And I wasn't sure how I was going to do that. This podcast is my attempt to have other successful entrepreneurs and business leaders give their information to you so you can have it from them, not just from me. So early on, as I was saying before, in my SEO career, I saw that there was a lack of courses teaching SEO. So now what I see is the major lack in the market is how do you holistically bring different tactics or marketing strategies together for a business owner? How does a business owner understand how to pull these things together to make a business plan on how they're going to market online? So like I said, there's a lot of information online and a lot of it is out of date. It uses tactics that can penalize your website by search engines, or maybe tactics that users that actually receive communications from you might see these communications as potential spam. In the end, what we should want to do is give our users a robust experience that provides them the right information that they're seeking. I hope the aha moments and breakthroughs from our episode's guests provide you with the insights and tactics you need to have an amazing marketing experience for your business. With that, I wish you a good day.
Are you ready to break through to accelerate online business growth? Then join our email list at emjpodcast.com so we can keep you up to date with the latest strategies, tips, and tricks that you'll want to know. Also, please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. This is the EMJ Podcast with Matt Hepburn, and we'll see you next time.